Good morning. I'll be reading Ephesians 5, 8 through 17 from the New American Standard. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed to the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Good morning, church. If you don't know, our main guy is out somewhere in the woods trying to find an elk. If he gets one, I don't know. Hopefully he does. So ask him next week. If he doesn't get one, the first person who asks, tell everybody else so that we don't keep rubbing it in that he didn't get one. Because I don't hunt, but I hear that it's, you know, a major letdown if you don't get something. Especially if you spent like 5 or 6 days out. Right, Jason? Finish this phrase for me. Out of sight. Yes. We are very aware of this phrase. Out of sight, out of mind. So I'm going to say that a couple times throughout this sermon today. And when I say the first part, out of sight. That's right. You guys finish the second half. So let's try it again. Out of sight. All right. I have a story that goes along with that phrase. When I was in college, I think it was the summer that I got married, the first half of the summer, I needed a place to stay before I got married, and Lisa and I moved into the Harding married apartments. So a friend of mine and I got an apartment together. It was me and him and his brother. And if you have three guys staying in an apartment together, no ladies to tidy up or clean, it gets rather messy. And so we had piles of dishes by the sink. You know, whenever it came time to eat, we'd get a pizza box and eat off the pizza box because it was cleaner. Those type things. I think for even part of the summer, we had a motorcycle sitting in the front living room just because it wouldn't get stolen if it was in the front. And so, I mean, that was kind of how it was. Well, one day I went to the refrigerator to try and find something to eat. And, you know, the first couple of things was just milk and water, you know, whatnot. But I saw something in the back. And I thought, great, I wonder what this is. And so I pull it out. And it's one of those styrofoam containers, you know, kind of the take-home from a restaurant. And I hadn't seen it before, and so I didn't know what it was. And I opened it. And I can tell you what it was at that time, and I can tell you what it used to be. Because about 3 months earlier, during homecoming, there was a really wealthy guy down in Arkansas who liked to put on large barbecues for thousands of people. And so every year for homecoming, he would put on himself a barbecue for our whole entire college, 5,000 people. And this was like a platter of plate. You got turkey legs, you got a big barbecue sandwich, you got ribs, every kind of meat on one platter. I mean, one would feed 5 people is what they said. But being college students, we took it all and put it in the refrigerator. Well, what was in the styrofoam box is what used to be the barbecue sandwich. I opened it and it was just this mound of mold. Like, you know how when sometimes you can still tell what it is by the shape of it? It was beyond even that. It was just had grown up like a mold forest. So I closed it, stuck it back in there. And left it. But it had been out of sight, and therefore molded. So I waited till my roommate got home and said, hey, what's in that back styrofoam thing? I don't know. Oh, well, I was going to eat it, but I didn't want to take it if it was yours. And so he goes and he opens it and goes, whoa! And he stuck it back in. Out of sight leads to bad things. And so today I want to talk about something that a lot of times for us is out of sight spiritually. And so we forget about it and bad things happen. And the topic today is spiritual warfare. It's not something that we talk about a lot. It's not something that we study about a lot. And so we forget about it. It becomes forgotten. And on Wednesdays, the high school group has been studying through the book of Revelation. So go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation, of course, talks about a lot of this spiritual stuff. Angels, you got dragons, you got horsemen riding around, casting fire down upon different things. So Revelation chapter 12. A good example of this is verses 7 through 9. It says this, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to earth, and his angels with him. So they were hurled to earth, which we just happen to call home. There's this new TV show coming out called V, which stands for Visitors. It's about aliens coming down to Earth, and it's a remake. But they were cast down here, to where we are. And this is where it gets messy. We pick up in verse 12. It says, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows, this is the key, that his time is short. He knows that his time is short. The end is near. He doesn't have much of it left. And when he realizes this, he seeks to take out as much as possible. He wants to cause as much damage as possible. If you continue reading, it talks about the lady who's giving birth, and right after this, he's sitting there waiting to take the child away. He wants to inflict this damage upon us because his death is drawing near. Now, if for those of you who have, you know, who live on farms and have had to, you know, butcher a sheep and you kill it, or chicken or whatnot, you can relate to this story. Back when my father was in high school, him and his brother lived out on a farm, and their mom told them, go out, get a chicken, I want you to kill it for dinner. Bring it in, pluck it, you know, all that kind of good stuff. So after they had chased down the chicken, they caught it, and they hear their mom yell out, make sure you hold the chicken down. Okay, this is the first time they've ever done this. And so they can hold the chicken down, of course. Well, you know, it doesn't want to get its head chopped off, so we got to hold it down. So they get it down. You know, one of them is holding the chicken out, stretching it out on a chopping block. The other one swings, and they let go. What happens next, I love to visualize in my head. The chicken got up and started walking around, and started running around with no head. The headless chicken. Well, they start running, because this chicken has no head, and it is not dead. The chicken chases one of them. And I'm not sure if this was God saying, hey, watch this, Michael, you know. But everywhere he turned, the chicken followed right after him. Well, the other one, I can't remember who got chased, but is sitting there watching this and is just dying laughing. Because, you know, he's like, ah! You know, he looks, he turns, and is still chasing this headless chicken. Eventually, runs out of steam and falls over. Clunk, it's dead now. But what happened was that, you know, the final message that this chicken is sending is, the time is near. My time is running out. Panic. Cause as much damage as possible. Run, 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 run. And so the body is still getting that last message. Run, run, run. And chased after him. But for the devil and his angels, he gets cast down here to earth. And he knows that his time is near. And so he does the same thing. Cause as much damage as possible. Take as many of these people with me as possible. Now this is where we get kind of confused. This is where, as a spiritual battle, it's not visible. We don't see angels and demons fighting around, walking around us all the time. And so it's out of sight. Right. And so when we go through life, some, you know, trials arise, hard times arise, but we don't see the visible battle. And so it's out of mind. We think, why is this calamity happening to me? What is going on? It's almost like finding the thing in the kitchen. What is that smell? Something is going wrong here, and I don't know what it is. And you start digging around the refrigerator, and you find this barbecue sandwich from 3 months ago. Because it's out of sight, we fail to see the devil's schemes. Or, I told the youth group that I would find a way to work this word in, the wiles of the devil. I had to look it up. Think of the wily coyote. He was always going around setting traps for the roadrunner. Setting these schemes. He had to have that roadrunner chicken for dinner. And in the story of the roadrunner and the wily coyote, his schemes always backfire. The roadrunner never gets caught. You know, he paints the door on the side of a mountain. The roadrunner runs right through it. He tries, hits the wall. They always backfire. But in the case of Satan, his schemes work very effectively. But we fail to see this as spiritual battles. And so what we see is, you know, maybe a bad financial time. That's what it is. Or maybe the car breaking down, it's just the old car. Or I hit a pothole, and so it's breaking down. Where in reality, perhaps it is something more that the devil is using to get at us. And we fail to see these things as a spiritual battle, something that takes us away from God. And sometimes, as Rex said at the communion thought, we have spiritual amnesia. We forget that we are a part of this battle, that we are participants in this battle. So turn to the last chapter of Revelation, chapter 22. Verse 8, we get to the end of this revelation that John has been given, and he's writing it out, and Jesus says in verse 7, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said, 'Don't do it. I'm but a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and the prophets and of all who keep the words of the book. Worship God.'" The angel tells John, "Don't worship me. You and I, we're on the same team. We are in this battle together. We are fighting it together. Worship God alone." And so we are not alone. God has sent his angels with us. At times through the Bible, you read about this. About, you see, the chariots of God inflamed around the enemy. Or David hears the sound of marching in the trees. I might have gotten that confused. Is it David? Is it David? Who is it? Is it Gideon? I forgot. Look that up for me and let me know where I'm wrong. But we see the spiritual battle taking place, even though we cannot see it. We need to understand that we are a part of this, and so that we don't have spiritual amnesia and forget. So a quick summary of what we've studied. There's a spiritual battle in heaven. Satan and his angels get cast down. Their time is short. There is spiritual warfare going on, but we are not alone, and we have not been abandoned in this. Now, as you read Revelation, it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of symbolic language going on. It can be confusing at times. So let's take a look at Romans and see if we can't find the exact same thing. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We're not going to read the whole chapter here, and sometimes Paul gets a little bit long-winded, and he says the same things a couple different times in a row. So I've picked out some verses that we will read as we move through here. I'll read them for you. We start first in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, "You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God who lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you." So we have the spiritual side of ourselves, the Spirit in us. We continue, "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So this is where we get into this. We are with Jesus. We are with the angels. We are sons of God. Then in verse 18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. The creation awaits in eager expectations for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." Verse 22, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time." So we have the devil cast down, causing problems in Revelation. In Romans, we have the world in turmoil. Problems going on. We continue verse 37. This is where we get to, "We are not alone. But in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." We are more than conquerors. No one can stand against us. And then, let's skip back to chapter 6, verse 3. This is where we are made new. We are a new creation. "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." We are given a new life. We die to the old self, and a new creation is born. Raise your hand if you have heard of the mythical creature called a phoenix. Okay. If you don't know what the phoenix is, it's this mythological bird. There lives only one of them at a time. They live for 500 years, and some sources say, like, you know, 1,000 years or something like that. But there's only one at a time. They live for a long time. At the time of its death, it builds a special little nest out of cinnamon, some different spices, and it dies. It turns to ash. And out of that ash arises the new phoenix, the next phoenix. And this, the phoenix, that death and resurrection, at times has taken on Christian symbology between Jesus Christ, His death, and rebirth. But not only for Christ, but for ourselves. We die, and out of the ashes is born something new, a new creation. If you look in the pockets in front of you, in every other one of the seats, there's a little card. that looks like this. I have some extra ones. Find those cards. I'm not sure if there's one for everybody, but there should be close to that many. Here's some for you guys since you're on the front row. Oh, you got one there. Never mind. Here you go, Ronald. On the front of this is a picture of a phoenix rising out of the ashes from the nest. The phoenix, the death, and resurrection. Also below this is the scripture that Don read for us. It says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." From Ephesians. Like Rex said, some of us have spiritual amnesia. We have forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that we are a new creation, a spiritual being, and that there is a spiritual battle going on all around us. But because it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and we forget. We forget that the devil is in his final days here on earth and wants to take us with him. He's in his death throes, causing as much damage, inflicting as much damage as possible. And so the call for us today is this verse from Ephesians. Wake up, you who are sleeping. Wake up and face reality. That the devil wants you to fall. He wants you to stumble. But greater than the devil is the one who is in us. God is with us. Christ is in us. We are a new creation. So take those cards, you know, stick it in your Bible. Use it as a reminder that we are in a spiritual battle. And so when things are not going how you think they should, if you're struggling, remember that greater is He who is in us. Wake up. Let's open our eyes to see the spiritual battle that is going on. Let's pray. And then we're going to sing a song here. Maybe you've been somebody who's asleep spiritually, who needs to wake up and open our eyes to see what's really going on. You know, I encourage you to find somebody and talk with them this week. If perhaps you want to be made that new creation, do it. But do it. Wake up. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. I thank you for making us a new creation. I thank you for fighting by our sides, for sending your angels to protect us, to encourage us when times get tough, when they are hard and difficult, when the death throes of Satan are taking us down with him. I ask that you lift us up, that you provide us strength, and that it's found through you and you alone, through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and who is our Savior.